This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are Amazon doesn't want to ship crap. Think about some limits for Christmas when it comes to devices in your kids. I've got some holiday travel tips for you, some planning to do. And I'm going to talk about a Twitter bug that's putting people at risk. I want to welcome you to episode 1335 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, December 17th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. First and foremost, I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show. It's absolutely a pleasure doing this podcast for you. I'm glad that you're here and you've stayed subscribed over the years. For those of you that are brand new to the show, if you're checking the show out for the very first time today, well, I tell you what, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, there's a place for you there to subscribe to the show. And by subscribe, I mean you can listen to the show on demand via Apple Podcast, on your favorite podcast Android app, via email, via Google Podcast, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Spotify. Of course, you can subscribe with an old school pod catcher using an RSS feed. If you have no idea what I'm talking about on how to subscribe to the show, click on the more subscribe options. It gives you the detailed instructions on how to do that. A little bit further down the webpage, there is a link to sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today, essentially an exact mirror of what goes in the show notes. So just be aware of that. You can sign up for that newsletter and get that delivered directly to your inbox. That way you never miss a single episode. Of course, you can watch the show on the Apple TV if you have one. Just look for the Geek News Central video podcast. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and say play the podcast, Geek News Central. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and on Mixer. So we're just about everywhere you are when we're live, going a little bit early tonight, actually a lot early, about 3 hours early than the normal show start. Things just worked out that way today. So we're up live. You can, of course, always join our chat room at geeknews.chat. And really, that's, you know, it's a great way to stay connected with the Ohana. It's a Mastodon chat server. You can hang out over there, put your links to things that you think are cool, provide me some input, hang out with the Ohana. Of course, you can be part of our Slack channel as well if you want. Just let me know if you want that. Of course, you can always contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or of course, on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook. Of course, partner shows here include the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my great writing team at Geek News Central, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com with myself and my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, the Podcast Legends Show at podcastlegends.com. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, if you're watching live tonight, we want you to say hello in the chat room. Hello, Morgan. Hello, Douglas. Welcome to the show. Caught you guys before you went to bed, even though it's getting late on the East Coast. But of course, this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And we want you to take time to look at all these deals that we've got available for you. And the deals have changed a little bit, as you probably have been hearing from the show. But again, they're all available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a sponsor here since June of 2005. And my December specials continue to be 30% off on new product purchases, a 99-cent .com for new customers at GoDaddy. Someone, just a one-time good deal promo code. Then there's $2.49 a month economy hosting for the first year, includes a free domain. Again, $2.49 a month economy hosting. That dollar a month deal is gone. So again, $2.49 for $30. You get up and running, plus you get that $8.29 value of a domain name. So really, it's still very inexpensive to get started with an economy hosting account. Of course, you can get a $2.49 a month managed WordPress hosting account for the first year, again with a free domain. definitely check those codes out. They're all on the webpage at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy, or you get a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. For those of you that have no web skills whatsoever, this GoDaddy website builder is the shizniz. It is the way to go, because it really helps you get your business set up. So GoDaddy website builder, all those codes on my website at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Copy and paste them at checkout or click on them to lock in the promo code right now. What a way to give a great Christmas present by giving someone a brand new website. You can even set it up for them. Take about 15 minutes, get the WordPress website set up, get it logged in, get a basic template on it, even do a guest post. Merry Christmas. You can do that. It's easy. All you got to do is get over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. $2.49 a month. Pay for that first year. Get someone up. Get them going so that they have the ability to create their own brand, their destiny, a podcast, a blog, whatever it may be. Again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Definitely appreciate their longtime support. All right, everyone, let's just chit-chat just a second. There's something on the tip of my mind I was supposed to tell you guys about that I was thinking about as I was starting the show and that I didn't write down. Oh, I know what it is. So please don't post this in the live chat anywhere. All right, if you're watching live. All right, this is just for those of you that are they're hanging out now until this news is actually going to break at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So those of you that are watching now, shh, don't say anything. But we're basically announcing that our certification is complete with the IEB and that Blueberry is the first podcast hosting company that is being certified with Podcast Metrics. Basically, the official word is we are IEB certified to be in compliance with the podcast measurement guidelines. So that's the big news breaking at 10 a.m. But because you're here and you're watching, you get the news early. I don't think it's much of a secret because I've been hinting around it for a while. But that all goes, all the press and PR and everything goes live in the morning and the world gets at large gets to find out. So anyway, don't say anything in the chat. All right. So this has been an interesting few days. So Friday, my wife says to me, and of course, you guys knew that I was doing a simple floor replacement and toilet. I've had the toilet bought for a couple months. We've had issues with the one in the bathroom. She decided we're going to put new flooring down. We went out and bought the flooring. And Friday about 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., she goes, I want to do the vanity too. And I'm like, I kind of knew it was coming. And actually, I had kind of hinted that maybe we should do that some time ago. And I'm like, okay, good. Let's do the vanity. So Saturday morning, off she trots with my son. They go to Home Depot to buy a vanity. And I start gutting the vanity that's in the bathroom. And let me tell you something. I wish I would have had a sledgehammer. Holy smokes, that sucker came out hard. Yeah, even though it was contractor grade, they had it caulked in really good. So I finally got it tore out after a couple of hours. And basically got some tile peeled away. And so the bathroom is now about 50% put back together. The flooring is in and the drywall repair has been done around the vanity. It's finishing drying. We have the backboard we're going to put up in place of where the old one was. I've got the vanity that's ready to go in. I got the all the faucet, all the connections hooked up on the vanity itself. It's still got to be hooked to the wall. I got the water. We had a water leak on one of the valves. Got the house water shut off. Got that changed out. And it just the amount of stuff that we did Sunday. I'm like, of course, we had a Christmas party with some friends and family on Sunday. And by Sunday night, I'm like, this bathroom is not finished yet. And we're waiting for some stuff to dry. So it's just now a matter of waiting. But this thing turned into much, much, and the toilet's not in yet. So it turned into a much bigger project. Now, not only that, you guys may have remembered I had a refrigerator that leaked that caused water damage in my laminate flooring. And we put an insurance claim in for that. It's gotten approved. And they called me. They've been in and out of here a couple of times. They cut a bunch of stuff out, did some pre-demo. The insurance company went ahead and approved the wall-to-wall replacement of my flooring. And essentially, I have a way my house design is a single-level layout. It's a living room, dining room, a hallway. So that's a lot of laminate. And it's basically all of our living space minus the bedrooms. And the company came by this morning and said, okay, here's the color palettes. I'm taking pictures, send them to my wife. And I'm like trying to nudge her towards one color. And we kind of pre-talked about it. Of course, with the insurance, and I don't want to pay anymore. So I'm staying within the budget and pick the, we're putting vinyl down. And, long story short, I think they're coming tomorrow to do the flooring. They called this afternoon and said, hey, can we come and start moving furniture? I said, yes, you can come. And I started kind of like pre-moving stuff. We're going to move as much stuff into the garage. So it's been insane. And I would expect the next couple of days to be even more. It's like rubbleizer around here. It's nuts. So in the meantime, today, I got all my CES gear testing done. I got all the gear out, everything hooked up. The full daisy chain, make sure I've got all my cables, boxed everything up, bagged it, bag tagged, and put away. And a few extra cables just in case. And my son is like looking at this process. He says, you've done this a few times. I said, well, I've gotten screwed. Always missing a cable, a power connector. So I said, I just do an end for end, set everything up, have a backup system in case something goes down from audio side. So that's going to go separately. So the packout's about 80% complete. I think I got one more Pelican case, and I think we're going to be down to five Pelican cases for the show. Don Bain's bringing in lights, so I don't have to ship lights. But I think, you know, before we're at 17, 18 boxes of stuff, but now because of miniaturization and everything, and I probably could go a little smaller, but I've opted to do a little more professional audio chain. So long story short here, that I'm just about packed out on that. And then crazy enough, you guys know when I leave here the night of Christmas to go to my daughter's place for my pending birth of my first grandchild, I will actually get home and only have a couple of days and turn around and go to Vegas and then come home and then start this East Coast tour, this marketing tour. And so I've actually packed the suitcase that I am going to grab on January 15th. It's packed and put in a corner with, you know, and I didn't pack the suits or anything, but I packed everything else that's going to go with me for 5 weeks because I'm only going to have less than 24 hours home. It's crazy. It's crazy around here. So anyway, the Kirk and I worked out the schedule. And by the way, I want to show you guys, Kirk got me he got my son a Christmas present too. He bought him a hard drive, an SSD external hard drive. So he doesn't lose his data again. Of course, if he was using Time Machine here at the house, that wouldn't have happened. But Kirk got me some shot glasses. And yes, you can tell who's here. It's Despicable Me 3 and my favorite characters here. So thanks, Kirk, for the shot glasses for Christmas. I definitely appreciate that. But anyway, Kirk's and I have worked out the schedule on what he's going to do. And the content while I'm gone is going to be focused on CES. We are going to, the shows will be largely about news, what's coming out for CES, prep stuff that we can talk about. There'll be some intermixed news, but they're going to be abbreviated Geek News Central shows. So Kirk's going to be doing them, and I've got a schedule of shows he's going to be doing, and we're not doing Christmas Eve, and we're not doing New Year's Eve, and then he'll do up until January 3rd, and then the CES content will kick off, obviously, Tuesday the 8th, I think, but I got a full schedule for that. So anyway, that's what's going on there, but you guys can't see it here, but the office is I mean, thrashed. And, but one thing that did come in the mail today was the DJI Osmo Pocket, and playing around with this thing so far, pretty neat little device. And this is going to go everywhere I go during CES, and easy to bust it out and do some video capturing. Okay, so I've talked enough about what's going on. Again, everyone, thanks for the Kirk saying in the latest software updated. Oh yes, TriCaster was tested. We're not doing. I've upgraded a couple of weeks ago. No more revisions. It's going to CES the way it is. No updates. It will not be updated until after CES is finished. So yeah, but anyway, that's what's going on here. Are you guys ready for the show? If the people that are new, they're like, what in the heck is this guy doing? Just talking. And, but lots going on. Lots happening here, folks. And, it's just pure insane. And I'm thinking to myself, we got company coming on Christmas Day. Is the house going to be put back together in time? And hell or high water, it will be. But, you know, I technically, I'm on vacation. You know, I never go on vacation and really have a true winter vacation. I told my team at Raw Voice, I'm like, I'm not going to be as engaged. And I'm like today, like 3 hours worth of work. So yeah, and there's no vacation for me. All right, let's go ahead and switch into the stack of stuff I've got for you here. This only Amazon can do. Amazon is declaring war on loss-making crap. And it's stuff that it's an acronym for can't realize a profit. So they're reportedly looking to eliminate product quantities that they can't make money on. And again, these goods are codenamed crap and are offerings at Amazon again, because maybe they're too heavy, maybe the profit margin's too narrow, they're eating it in shipping costs. And I think, you know, we've all been amazed. You know, matter of fact, there's been a couple of things that I have bought. I remember years ago, I bought a very heavy, like 100 pound. It's a specialized universal power supply for the TriCaster. It's got, it's basically really special UPS. And they shipped it here for free. And I know they just ate it bad for how much it cost to ship it to Hawaii. As immediately as I got it, I said, oh, I'm going to order one more. I should have ordered two because it no longer was free shipping to Hawaii. The manufacturer took it off free shipping. So Amazon has been shipping like 6 packs of water. Think about that. We're shipping water. A 6-pack of bottled water. Coca-Cola's Smart Water brand sells for $6.99, and they're shipping water. Who buys water via Amazon? Come on. It's $6.99, really? And it's available as a dash button. Well, apparently Amazon has told Coke, hey, we're only going to ship a case, and you have to pick up the shipping. they're not going to ship it. So a 24-pack is going to cost $37.20. And Amazon is, and only Amazon could do this, is go back to the manufacturer and said, you eat the shipping cost. Now, let's think about that for a second. We know that this has been going on for a while with them losing money. I cannot buy in Hawaii Mott's tomato juice. It's not, if you ever been on United and got a Mott's tomato juice can, they're not, you can't buy in Hawaii. It doesn't exist. And for many years I've complained, but I could order it from Amazon and get it in if I wanted to pay a shipping cost. So I've only done that a few times. I really had a big hankering for it, and they've shipped me a case of Mott's tomato juice, but you know that they're not making any money on that, for what little they're charging me to ship stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how this conflicts with the whole point of the dash button in some of these items. And Amazon is understanding that their shipping is eating them alive. And that's why now, even in Hawaii, they're putting I've put in an order here, order there, you know, over a 2-3 day period. And then when the box shows up, all 3 days worth of orders are in the box. It's, you know, smart on their part to do that. And I don't blame them for doing that. I'm still not paying anything for the shipping. But initiatives like Prime Pantry, where users have to fill a box with goods, that's another way to mitigate cost. Someone is either barbecuing or my house is on fire. It's no smoke detectors that went off yet, but I've got the windows open and I'm smelling something that doesn't quite smell like barbecue. So we'll keep our fingers crossed it's not the house. So anyway, Amazon declares war on loss making crap. Wouldn't that be something? All the stuff we do and then the house burns to the ground. That would suck. All right, draw a line in the snow using tech with kids around the holidays. Many of your kids are getting off for the holidays here. And I've got one that's going to be starting a Christmas vacation on Thursday as well. And we've already, you know, he's been sneaking away to do a little more gaming than he normally does. And I'm like, listen, over the break, it's not going to be 24/7 gaming and on your phone and, you know, on your computer. There's going to be some constructor projects being done. You know, I've kind of laid these ground rules out to him and knowing that, you know, I'm going to be tracking time. Otherwise, it's just, you know, they're going to go into this coma of devices. And we're going to have a family here. It's going to, you know, he's going to have cousins. It's not going to be, you know, I'm sure they're going to want to play some stuff together. Whether that's cool, but it's not going to be free reign. We're going to be getting in the car and going someplace and, you know, not on devices all the time. So I agree with this article over on Google. Maybe this this holiday period turns screen time into family time, movies, family movies, where you're all watching the same stuff. Have a conversation about it. You can do some exploration to find some educational things to do over the break. And of course, recommending content. And my son hates to read. He really does. He's not a reader, but I'm forcing him. So one of the things we're talking about is a book series. And I remember some stuff that I liked when his age. It's timeless type of content. We're talking about that. So just trying to get him aligned with not being head down in his tablet the whole time. So anyway, that's, I think it's good advice for all of us to think about over the holiday period and even ourselves to take a break as we need. Someone complained to me a couple hours ago, said, you were offline all day. I'm like, well, I was bouncing in, bouncing out. Sorry, I didn't respond to you as quick, but I'm trying to get stuff done and there's just no time to look at the phone. Also, for the holiday and beyond, your travel planning guide is there's one that's online talking about how to check your flights, how to get the lay of land with where you're going to be driving to, whether you're going to be taking a few days off post-Christmas and between that and the New Year's and going a few places and maybe seeing some things. So there's some things to do that maybe doesn't cost much money. Lots of good recommendations. So again, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. Some planning guide for things that keep you busy. Some of you are just going to want to vegetate. You got time off, you're taking vacation. You're just going to want to like maybe power through some Netflix series or something like that. I think those are always good. It, you know, sometimes we just need to do nothing, right? And I've stressed, my wife she doesn't like doing nothing. She doesn't like just hanging out and reading a book and or watching TV. She thinks we should be doing something. And especially when the kids are off school, we should go to the beach. We should go this, we should go there. And sometimes I'm just like, breathe a little. Let's relax. with their sister coming, oh my God, they're just going to go. And I'm just going to let them go. I'm just like, of course, I'm going to be gone for about 4 days, but I mean, like, you just go, have fun, knock yourself out. So anyway, long story short here, do some planning for the holidays and get some good relaxed time in. Okay, Twitter bug leaks phone numbers and country codes. So Twitter accidentally exposed the ability to pull an account's phone number, country code, and whether the account had been locked by Twitter. The concern here is that malicious actors could have used a security flaw to figure out in which countries accounts are based, which could have ramifications for whistleblowers or political dissidents. So apparently the issue came through one of Twitter's support forums. They contacted the company, and they found that a large number of inquiries came from IP addresses located, not surprising, in China, Saudi Arabia. You know, those are countries that never kill their citizens, right? So I shouldn't laugh. It's true, right? While we cannot confirm intent or attribution for certain, it's possible that some of these IP addresses may have ties to state-sponsored actors. Of course, of course. And Twitter's begin working on the issue November 15th and fix it November 16th. It did notify the European Union State of Protection Commission because of the GDPR enforcement without reporting it can trigger fines. So they also informed the FTC. So once again, data out there in the wild. Is it just me or are Facebook days numbered? For a long, long time, I have, you know, this show, where does this show reside? It resides on Geek News Central, right? GeekNewsCentral.com. You guys know where to go get my content. But socially, my social stream is on Twitter, it's on Facebook. There's really no social stream on my personal website. Probably engagement wouldn't be super high if I did. But Facebook has got to the point here where they're being the gatekeepers of speech. And I'm not going to defend. I'm not going to say whether someone should say something or not. But it's their platform, and they can allow people to do what they want underneath their own rules and community guidelines. Facebook had temporarily banned the Israeli prime minister's son over some post. Last week, Facebook removed a post by Yair Netanyahu in which he called for avenging the deaths of two Israeli soldiers killed by a Palestinian. So he called Facebook thought police, but it accused him of hate speech. So they shut his account down for 24 hours. And so again, it's Facebook's decision, but I'm sure this individual is speaking the language of what a lot of Israelis probably think on a day-to-day basis. But again, he was talking about avenging instead of calling out and say, or protesting about the deaths or make an opinion about the deaths. He was talking about avenging, and that is what got him in trouble here. So the question really is then, for individuals like him that are going to make these types of comments on social media, and knowing that social media is not, that Facebook's not going to stand for that type of rhetoric that's being put out by an individual, don't you think that he would be better served to have his own website, his own stream of thoughts? Like, you know, this is extreme. But this is just one example of Facebook basically enacting government guidelines on a very high profile individual. So I just wonder, though, if there's, of course, you hear about it. You wonder if it goes both ways. You know, you don't hear about someone else from a, you know, that's the question. As long as it's applied fairly across all groups, I think that, they're doing well, but you just don't know. You don't hear about it, but maybe no one on the other political side or from the Palestinian side are making the same types of comments on Facebook. Because that can get pretty heated conversation. Of course, those of us here in the United States, we have really no idea what We read what we read in the news, and we don't know what obviously drove the commentary. But again, I just wonder if Facebook at some point is going to start declining because people are afraid that they can express their opinion and thoughts on the platform. Love to hear you guys' thought. geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, Mike. Hey, Tim. Hey, Kirk. Thanks for being live. Appreciate it. Hey, Blue Origin plans to conduct the next test flight of its new Shepard suborbital vehicle for those of you listening to the podcast today. So the place, it's going to take place at 9:30 a.m. Eastern from its West Texas test site. So if you're up early, if you're not on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast, this is going to be, they're going to stream it live. So the flight will be the first for the new Shepard since July 18th launch. This is going to be a suborbital test. So we'll see what happens here. But anyway, it's live tomorrow or Tuesday the 18th at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So probably 6:30, and that'll be 7:30 Texas time or 6:30. What will it be? 8:30 Texas time? Probably be daylight. So anyway, we'll have a link up in the show notes for you. If you missed it, if you listened to the show too late, sorry. All right, Apple's offering 6 classic audiobooks for free. So if you are looking for something classical to read over the holidays, they're voiced by celebrities that are in this, like Kelsey Grammer and Titus Burgess. So here, what are the 6? Pride and Prejudice, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, The Secret Garden, The Time Machine, Frankenstein, and Winnie the Pooh are all free. So very, very cool. So 6 classic audiobooks for free. You don't have to go over to youknowwho/something to get a free trial. You can just get get these 6 for free. And nothing else. Get the, you know, I'm going to grab the Winnie the Pooh one. And because I got a grandchild coming. So a couple years from now, it'll be Winnie the Pooh time, right? With grandpa. So Frankenstein's a good read, too, for those of you that have never read it. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. So Apple Music now works on Amazon You Know Who smart speakers. So this skill for Apple Music is here. So if you've been waiting to listen to Apple Music, it's your lucky day. The skill for Apple Music is live and available on the Alexa app for Android and iPhone. Right now, the skill works exclusively on Amazon-branded speakers, but expect to roll out to third-party Alexa... enabled devices like the Sonos One. So simply search for Apple Music in the skills section of the Alexa app and hit enable to use to link your Apple Music account. Whenever time I trigger You Know Who, those of you that were listening to the podcast, you're not hearing this right now because you're cussing at me. I'm sorry. I almost made it through the article. I really did. Oh, gosh. Hey, LG has a new 32-inch UHD monitor, and it's available for $349. I'm going to be in the market. I've got this here in the studio. I have a Dell. This is the iMac. And then I've got another Dell monitor over here. And that Dell monitor's been flaking on me. I went and made sure I got into the monitor and tested to make sure it wasn't the Mac Pro, the garbage can. But this monitor over here has been losing sync every once in a while. So I'm waiting for it to give up the ghost. So I'm going to be looking for a new monitor. And this LG 32-inch is available for $349. And while I'm not quite 4K, I don't really worry about 4K. This is a 2560 by 1440 IPS panel. And it's got a 75 hertz refresh rate. So definitely be checking that out amongst other monitors. But that's one that's out there for $349. All right, Fitbit OS 3.0 brings more third-party app support, including a couch to 5K. And I'm not really familiar with Couch, but of the new third-party apps, of the more notable are Couch to 5K and AccuHealth. Couch to 5K is a popular training program that coaches beginning runners towards completing a long-distance race, and the app can display daily exercise goals on the watch. AccuHealth measures your body for unusual temperature spikes unrelated to exercise or predict potential illness. Other partner apps will arrive next year. I haven't took one of the, on the Apple Watch, I haven't even took one of those ICGs or IKGs or IQGs, whatever they call it. I need to do that yet. But anyway, the OS update today will notably skip the Charge 3, meaning those users will have to keep waiting for additional third-party app support from popular brands. So if you've got a Fitbit, OS 3.0. Apple was facing a lawsuit, specifically a FaceTime lawsuit, where an individual who rear-ended and unfortunately killed a child and severely injured the parents in this accident was using FaceTime on his iPhone when he crashed into the back of this family's car. My friend that I know, I have a friend here that's driving a Mini Cooper. He got smashed really hard last week by a Toyota 4Runner. He was luckily walked away from it, but he's been laid up for since the accident just because he got pounded so hard. But the guy that hit him was on his cell phone as well. So people, you know, you just never know. You got to keep your eye on a swivel here. There's nothing he could do. He was a stoplight. There was a car in front of him. He didn't even see him coming. That was the worst part. You know, it happened so fast. But people on their cell phones are wrecking people. And to think that, you know, to be on FaceTime, that is beyond irresponsible. So I don't know if this guy got jail time or what happened, because he killed somebody here. But this lawsuit went against, basically, they told Apple, you should have had a feature in there that disabled FaceTime when the car was in motion. But that lawsuit has been dismissed and basically said that Apple did not owe this family a duty of care. It said it was not up to the tech giant to take responsibility for actions of individuals using its applications. The ruling determined that the family cannot establish that Apple's design of the iPhone constituted a proximate cause of the injuries they suffered. So, sorry about that, sniffling on you there. But let's hope that that individual was held to an account. Our Instagram, this is a big article on Bloomberg to pop late today. Instagram, supposedly, according to Senate intelligence information, was a bigger Russian election tool than Facebook. So once again, Facebook's back in the news here. Facebook's Instagram played a much bigger role in Russia's manipulation of U.S. voters than the company has previously discussed and will be a key Russian tool in the 2020 elections, according to a report commissioned by the Senate Intelligence Committee. The Russian Internet Research Agency, the troll farm that has sought to divide Americans with information and meme content around the 2016 received more engagement on Instagram than it did on any other social media platform, including Facebook. So there were 187 million interactions with the Instagram content at that was basically being perpetrated by the Russians, compared with 77 million on Facebook and 73 million on Twitter. Facebook sent a statement that has provided thousands of ads to lawmakers and made progress in preventing interference, blah, 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 blah. Now, at the same time, oh, do I have it lined up here? Hopefully I do. I don't think I do. Shoot, let me see if I can find it. The NAACP, in response to this, encouraged people to log out of Facebook after this report came out. The NAACP has returned a donation to Facebook and encourages partners and supporters to log out of the social network Instagram and WhatsApp for 1 week in wake of the Senate report. The report authors determined Russian actors had targeted African Americans and tried to suppress voter turnout for the 2016 election. So the NAACP is asking for a 1 week strike of Facebook. So the darling of social media, once again in the news in a negative way. The FCC is forcing California to drop plans for government fees on text messages. Oh, man. That didn't last long, did it? So we talked about it on the last show. The FCC said texts are not telecommunications. So California regulators have abandoned a plan to impose government fees on text messages and saying that the FCC vote has limited its authority over text messaging. The FCC voted last week to classify text messaging as an information service rather than a telecommunications service. Information service is the same classification the FCC gave to broadband when it repealed net neutrality rules and claimed that states aren't allowed to impose their own net neutrality laws. Of course, California passed a net neutrality law anyway and is defending it now in court, but the state's state utility regulator chose not to challenge the FCC on text messages. More than likely, their phones ringing off the hook as people were complaining about it, not based on what the FCC did. Hey, Tim, thanks for the update. He says that this individual that rear-ended this car and killed this child and hurt the family said his court date is this summer. So what is the voluntary manslaughter? Involuntary manslaughter? What's his charge, Tim? And what are they? Is it, it can't be involuntary manslaughter, right? Because he was doing a voluntary act of not paying attention. What's the charge? That's the question. We need to start waking people the heck up. You know, matter of fact, if you find the link to that, Tim, I'll put it in the show notes because, you know, here's the deal. We've all done it. We've all had our phone ding at us. We've taken calls with not being on Bluetooth. We've looked at something. We have to stop. People are dying. Cars are getting wrecked. People are going to hospitals. And we have to stop. We have to, and please, you know, this distracted driving is bad. And, so it's manslaughter. So this guy's going away. He's going to go to prison for some years. You know, manslaughter is not as bad as murder, but it depends on the circumstances around manslaughter, on how many years they can apply on the sentencing. He's no way he's going to, if he pleaded innocent, you know, you weren't innocent. You're on FaceTime. You admitted to being on FaceTime. It's just bad as people that have Teslas, they're driving, you know, sleeping behind the wheel or whatever, you know, it's crazy out there. All right. Facebook's clear history tool won't arrive until spring of 2019. Have you guys been doing some of the things I've been telling you? You've been looking at your location data with Google? Have you went in and looked at your location data with Google? Have you seen how it's tracked you everywhere you went? How many of you are clearing that information? So Facebook introduced Clear History feature in May, but it is expected to offer privacy-oriented controls in space in a few months. And it's going to happen sometime in the spring of 2019. So, you know, Facebook tends to store browsing data by scattering it to the four winds. Your personal ID and the time of visitations are in different places. And when Facebook stores that data based on time, date and time instead of individual users, it can't easily associate history with specific people. The social networks had to craft a user-focused data storage system just to make Clear History feasible. So I'll be looking forward to being able to hit the delete button on that. All right. All right, France, boy, you know, France is burning. The protests are going on there, and now the tech giants are in, like Facebook, Google, Amazon, Apple. They're all in the crosshairs. In early December, Economy Minister Bruno Le Maire said France would give the EU until March to come up with a deal on taxing U.S. internet giants. But just 10 days later, of course, their fuel tax isn't going through for carbon cop. By the way, did you guys know that carbon emissions in the United States dropped by 0.5% as compared to the European Union have went up by 1.5%. So we walked away from the Paris Accord, but yet we have in, I think 2017 was the report. Someone's going to probably correct me here. 0.5% drop in carbon emissions while the EU had a 1.5% increase. But anyway, so France's gas tax didn't go through because people said enough. But France said in the start of December, it would start taxing Google, Apple, Facebook, and Amazon. And it would, they said, hope the new tax would raise 500 million euros or $570 million. And so anyway, they're going to start asking a 3% tax on digital advertising from Google and Facebook. So money, money, money. They got to get it somewhere. They're not getting it from their citizens. So we're going to go and tax the tech companies. Are we surprised? I say not. Google's secret China project effectively has been ended. This apparently got pretty ugly inside of Google. The Intercept has the dirt here. Google's been forced to shut down a data analysis system it was using to develop a censored search engine for China after members of the company's privacy team raised internal complaints that it had been kept secret from them. Apparently, the internal rift, in other words, war, over the system has had massive ramifications, effectively ending work on the censored search engine known as Dragonfly. The incident represents a major blow to the top Google executives, including CEO Sundar Pichai, who have over the last 2 years made the China project one of their main priorities. That do not evil thing doesn't apply no more, right? And of course, the dispute began in mid-August when The Intercept revealed that Google employees working on Dragonfly had been using a Beijing-based website to help develop a blacklist for the censored search engine. So anyway, they've got all the dirt here. And they got caught. They got caught doing something. Got caught. A hacker targeted the Wall Street Journal earlier today, posting a fake apology in support of PewDiePie. PewDiePie, that's the YouTube star. Of course, PewDiePie has been involved in a few brush-ups with YouTube and was demonetized and lost some of his deals. He's got like something like 37 million followers or some ridiculous number on YouTube. And the Wall Street Journal was not real happy with PewDiePie and posted a couple of negative articles about him. But anyway, the hackers published a note that said the publication wanted to apologize to the YouTuber, and due to misrepresentation by his journalist, the Wall Street Journal would be sponsoring PewDiePie. The Wall Street Journal took down the page, and spokesman told The Verge that the company would be investigating the unit. Oh, funny. It is funny. It's a full-blown article on Wall Street Journal tech section. how does that happen? How did that get up there? Oh, it's pretty funny until it happens to you. T-Mobile's eSIM support is only available for new iPhones, is limited to those of you that get a prepaid line. So now AT&T and Verizon switched on their support for eSIMs and iPhones. It's T-Mobile's turn. The network has released an eSIM app that adds a line to your iPhone XR, iPhone XS, or iPhone XS Max without making you insert the little card. Of course, it's an eSIM. The iPhone can't handle two SIMs, which to me was dumb. They should have made it so it handled two SIMs, but no, they're going to have it make it an eSIM. But anyway, that leaves Sprint as the only one of the top four U.S. networks that are yet to enable eSIM support, although I heard that T-Mobile is one step closer to acquiring Sprint, just waiting on Department of Justice and FCC approval. I think it passed some other regulatory firms. All right, what's the weather on Mars? Well, NASA's InSight lander is reporting back some information. They're slowly rolling out the scientific projects. There's a great article at space.com talking about the new lander. And some of the stuff, they've basically deployed three weather sensors. So they're able to see wind speeds and temperature changes. And they're still calibrating this stuff. You would think they would just be able to pop it up. And the windmill spinner would let them know. But so I guess it's not as easy as that. They were even able to tell the direction and angle of a dirt devil or dust devil. How do you do that? But that's what they said in the article here. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes so you can check that out. So a little bit of news coming from Mars, as we would expect. It's exciting to see what this insider is going to be able to tell us. I'm not a gamer. Don't claim to be a gamer. And if I become a gamer, I will definitely probably no longer be a podcaster. So you don't want me to be a gamer. But CNET's got the best games of 2018, the editor's top picks, and must-have games of the year. I don't know if this was a pay-to-play article or what, but anyway, this is an article that's up on CNET. I'm not going to go into the details. There's multiple slides, multiple games. You guys can take a look at their top picks if you're so desiring. Good article from Nielsen. And we talked a little bit about this article on the New Media Show on Saturday. But it takes about audiences and how they're using media today. Because media audiences have more media at their disposal. And they're using them simultaneously. So a lot of people are watching TV and using their tablet at the same time. That number is increasing. It's like 36% of people are doing both. They're watching TV and using their device. So that's a pretty crazy number if you really want to think about it. Now, people are also doing things when listening to audio in a variety of different ways. But this is a good report. Just looks at what people are doing in the digital space. If you want to see what's happening with people when it comes to how they're listening to content or watching content, this is the thing that blew me away the most, is that the average time spent per adult is 18 plus hours. 18 plus hours. That's insane per week watching content. So obviously peak time is between 7 and 9 p.m. But even as early as 6 o'clock in the morning, people are watching some sort of media, some sort of video media, whether it be time-shifted TV, or I guess radio and digital's connected here as well, including some podcast numbers. But anyway, link in the show notes. You guys can dig through that, and it just kind of shows what we're doing with our devices. And I think all of us pretty much know, because we're probably all doing some of these same things. Google's put $1 billion towards its new New York City campus. That's just kind of a little rounding error for Google. So anyway, they're in order to establish its new campus, the move will create 1.7 million square feet. Over the next decade, double the number of employees the company has in the city, which currently stands at 7,000. So if you live in and around 315 and 345 Hudson Street, stand by. The Googleites are coming. All right. So these are some deals that Kirk found for today's show. And again, thanks for Kirk for doing the pre-production on this. So if you're looking for an Android phone, there's a deal on a Moto X4. It's $165 out there. So it's available B&H, and they get in silver or black. So that's a phone that's available for you that's out there pretty inexpensively. Also, there's some good Windows and Mac bundles for heavy discount on apps and games that are available. I have the link up in the show notes there on a variety of different websites. So if you're looking for some apps and game discounts, it's a good time to go shopping. Link will be there for you. Don't forget, if we save you money here in the show, that's make an in-kind donation as here as an insider. Also, the Roku Express is available for $25. It's, you know, these smart devices are just on sale, on sale, on sale. How much cheaper can they go? You know, they might as well just give them away at this point. There's a $27 gadget for those of you that live where it's cold. It can charge your phone or warm your hands, whichever is more important. So it's got a little heater in it. That's kind of a cool little device. I wish they'd had these when I was ice fishing as a kid. So just click the button and it warms up. You can warm your hands up. This actually is really, really smart. If you think about it, it's available for $27. And it heats the exterior. Now, just it's not at all chilly. It goes to 109 degrees for 7 hours. So that's perfect. Keep the hands warm while you're out there doing those winter stuff. All right. TCL's Series 6 Roku TV is now $500. It's cheaper than its Black Friday price. And you can save 10% on refurbished gear from declutter.com. So definitely check that out. All right. What else deals here? Anchor, they continue to just have great sales. And they have wireless earbuds, cable, smart scales, and more. Try back soon. I didn't call her, and she responded. She's been doing that lately. Did you guys hear ALEXA respond? say something was wrong. But anyway, the anchor deals continue throughout the end of the holidays here. Also, you can, this is another one. There's more sales from Anchor on its Bluetooth speaker. Lots of, I think, and then there's travel chargers as well. So anyway, a whole bunch of deals there for to save you some cash. Again, if you save some money on one of the deals we find and find something of interest that you want to purchase and you save 10 bucks or 15 bucks, don't forget your geek here at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's been my pleasure to bring you show tonight. Let me see. And we did this early. Let me see if I've got any email comments that come in. Nothing at this time. So anyway, that's the rundown, folks. And we're going to get you out of here. Not too bad. Just under an hour. Don't forget, as we head into this month, this is January is one of my most expensive months for doing this show. Considering everything that's involved in shipping stuff to CES, hotels, food, airfare, post-production, all that stuff. So insider donations are greatly appreciated. And also the sharing my promo codes with your friends, family members, people that you need to go to Christmas. And, you know, you get the chance to drop, hey, you're picking up, you're doing a website, I know a guy, you know, so hook a geek up here and link back to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Talk about it on Twitter and Facebook. That helps tremendously when you do that. Also, I want to let you guys know that the laptop is back. The one that is destroyed. The one, and we will, if I get time here over this week, I'm going to tear this apart and I will show you some of the damaged parts in this. But again, this is going to make a great paperweight, and it, you know, it'll be in my memorial back behind me at some point, because it's a device that was destroyed. But the screen in it's good. So if someone needs a screen for A1707 model MacBook Pro, let me know. I don't know how hard they are to take out on your own, if it's even possible, but the screen can't be damaged. It's got to be good. So, but anyway, I'm going to gut it and we'll take a look at the components inside, and maybe I'll be able to get to that, that hard drive and, detach it from its connection and see if we can get to some of that data. But anyway, that's it, folks. That's all I've got here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. For those of you who've been watching live, thank you. I do appreciate it. And let me see where we're at. Now, those of you on Twitter and on Periscope and Mixer and YouTube, again, thank all of you for hanging out here with the show. And anybody made comments on any of the websites, we do appreciate it. All right. So we'll see you back here on Thursday. And that'll be my last show before I bounce out heading to Tampa. But we'll talk about that in the next podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.